Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8 down to verse 14. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8 to verse 14, and we'll read them now. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. And our theme is quite simply input and output. Input and output. What goes into the man and what comes out of his mouth. We are not wise by nature. By nature, we are fools. That is simply another way of saying that we are all sinners. For all sin is folly, according to the word of God. And we need saving grace, causing us to embrace the revealed truth of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we need to begin to be wise, wise unto salvation, to come to Christ by the Spirit, making us willing, for in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom has to be put into us by the Holy Spirit, enabling us to receive the word of God. Otherwise, we remain fools to all eternity in outer darkness. So there must be input, the truth of God. And several of these verses address this very thing. First of all, then, receivers are wise. Receivers are wise. Verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Those who have the beginning of wisdom in them know that they need more. Those who are wise know how unwise they are and in need of increased wisdom. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, being built up in him, who is the head of all principality and power. 1 Peter 1, 2 and 3. But as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So those who have tasted feel the need for more of the truth and more of that wisdom which has begun in them. Those who depend on Christ and fear the Lord do not consider themselves to have attained, not as though I have already attained, but I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, one of the marks of being in the way is that we become learners. We desire to learn more. We have begun to learn, and we know we have much to learn, and we go on desiring the word of the Lord. And that is true of all Christians, that they will have a desire to increase in grace and in knowledge, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And it's true for ministers as much as anyone else. A man who cannot learn and listen should never preach. A man who cannot listen should never preach. Matthew 13, verse 52. Matthew 13 and 52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasures things new and old. So that it applies to all believers, and that includes ministers, that we are always learning to the end of our days. And so it must be. We have not attained. In the world to come, we will be filled with all the fullness of God. But in this world, we desire after, and our souls long for the truth of God. Whereas the prating fool shall fall. That phrase, the prating fool, is literally a fool of lips, who is more interested in arguing than praying. He lives not for the honour of the Lord, but to be honoured by men as a man in the know. And he pretends to great wisdom and prattles on, but falls or is beaten, as the margin says in our Bibles. That is, his zeal for his own standing brings him to disgrace and brings its own punishment. So this is a man who desires a reputation, not the glory of God and real increase in wisdom. He's a man who cannot listen. That's why he's a prating fool. He babbles when he has nothing much really to say. And so he brings himself into disgrace. Well, where do you fit in with this? Are you too busy trying to show how much you know to really learn? Are you too preoccupied with how you appear to others to ever really properly learn anything of the truth of God? The Church of Christ needs not arrogant babblers, but humble learners. If there is grace in the heart, there will be some meekness and desire to learn the truth of God. Then secondly, doers of the word. Doers of the word. Verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. The Lord Jesus said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Luke 11:28. And this is describing a Christian man. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. The idea is of honestly walking in the fear of the Lord, as before the face of God, and according to his word. They walk surely, because they walk honestly in the light of the word of God, and before his face. They are on the path of the just, that shineth brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. They have the Lord as their protector, their sun, and their shield. They have the comfort of the exceeding great and precious promises. They are loved by him. They are described in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John and chapter 3 and verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemneth us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And the latter end of that man is peace and an abundant entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So this is a character description of the godly man, which is found to some degree in all the people of God. They walk uprightly, that is, in the light of the word, and therefore surely. But he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that perverteth his ways, or goes in a secret way. Here is a man leading a double life. He is not what he professes to be, and what he wants everyone to think that he is. It shall be known. It comes to light. That's the idea. It comes out. We shouldn't really be surprised when great scandal afflicts the church. There have always been whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. And so his way comes to the surface in due time. We are to be doers of the word, not hearers only. We are to live godly in Christ Jesus, not simply to be experts in knowledge. Thirdly, deceit which is not verbal. Deceit which is not verbal. Verse 10. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. It appears the contrast here is between two kinds of troublemakers, those who bring trouble on others and those who bring trouble on themselves, the latter being the prating fool or the fool of lips that we have come across in verse 8. But here is someone worse than this prating fool. At least the prating fool can be seen to be a prating fool. But this man winketh with the eye, and he's worse because he does harm to others. He says nothing. Not like the prating fool, who everybody knows what he is. But this man winks with the eye and causes sorrow. That is, he winks with the eye as a signal not to be noticed by his victim. Either a wink of scorn or a sign of some hurtful plan. That's the idea. And he causes sorrow to others by his secret scheming. Psalm 35 and verse 19. Psalm 35 and verse 19. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. Such a man may claim innocence and deceive many by his subtlety, but he doesn't deceive God. God sees the secret winking, the scheming, the planning. He knows what this man's doing as surely as he knows the prating fool. He sees all his hidden malice and secret wickedness. We must resist the temptation to admire smart wickedness. We must resist the temptation to admire smart wickedness. There's a tendency when someone is cleverly sins cleverly, to have a certain admiration. Well, we shouldn't. Clever sin is still sin, and we should hate it. The company we need is that of open-hearted, honest godliness. That's what we need. I am companion of all them that fear thee and who keep thy precepts. Those who are upright in the way of the Lord. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. It's people like that whose company we need. People in whose presence we would be ashamed to sin, because they're godly, and it's obvious. Open, honest, straightforward godliness. That's what we need to be, and that's the kind of company we need to keep. Fourthly, it will come out. It will come out. Verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. What is inside usually comes out sooner or later. Out of the heart of man proceed adulteries, murders, fornications, and so forth. The mouth of the godly man's words, his words do good. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. His words do good. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The words of a godly man do good. Have you done any good with your mouth in recent days? Have you done any good with your mouth? No doubt there have been many words. We all speak many words. But have you done anyone any good by anything you have said in the last week? Has anyone been potentially blessed by your speech. Of course, we can't make good words effective. That belongs to the Spirit of God. But we must ask the question, when you gather up all the words we have spoken in the last week or 10 days, is there anything that is particularly good if people hear it and receive it? No doubt much of our words are taken up with fairly mundane matters, and that must needs be so. But is that all? Has God given us tongues just to get through with or to do good with? The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The thought here seems to be that the wicked man's words are deceitful and disguise violent intent, but perhaps unconvincingly. So that's the mouth. But then verse 12, the heart. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. This is telling us what's in the heart. What comes out of the mouth reflects what's in the heart. The proud heart wants others' sins exposed and stirreth up strifes to that end, because the motive is not one of desire for honesty and necessary addressing of fault, but hatred. Hatred, the desire to condemn others, to lift up himself. Whereas love, on the other hand, yes, love exposes the sins of others when necessary. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Love, where necessary, reproves sin. But love does not rejoice in evil. Verse 13 gives the background work. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. This righteous man whose lips are a well of life, there's a lot goes on in the background. His lips have wisdom because he prays and he studies the word in order to have understanding. Whereas the fool just blurts out what he doesn't understand. He talks when he doesn't know what he's talking about. Compare here Solomon and Rehoboam on Wednesday evenings. We've been looking at 2 Chronicles. Think of Solomon and his wisdom. Solomon, people came, the queen of the south came miles to hear his wisdom and said, "Blessed are thy servants who stand in thy presence and hear the wisdom of Solomon." Whereas Rehoboam, he acted on foolish impulse and flattery of his pride, and provoked 10 tribes to revolt, and he made a rod for his own back. Rehoboam inherited a glorious kingdom, and he half ruined it straight away. The psalmist says, "My meditation of thee shall be sweet." Have you meditated on the truth of God? When was the last time you gave serious thought to anything in God's Word? It's not the quantity read. It's thinking upon the truth so that we understand it and live by it. Have you meditated and understood so that your heart is like the psalmist? My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak things concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Can you speak well of Christ? Isn't that what people need to hear? Christians who speak well of the Lord Jesus Christ, who speak of a Saviour they know, and who delight in His glory, and who search the Scriptures concerning His sufferings and the glory that should follow. Can we speak well of Christ? We may not be that articulate, but do we meditate upon Him so that we can speak of Him as those who have laid up understanding of His excellency and His greatness? Verse 14, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Some prosper in the truth of God. Others never leave the starting grid. Even ministers are to profit from the Word. Above all, they must. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Thy profiting may appear to all. Some profit from the Word and progress, and others stand still. They never advance because they've never learned to listen or to seriously think about the Word of God. Have you begun to listen to the Word with a truly hearing ear? Hebrews 4:2 tells us of the Israelites in the wilderness, for the gospel was preached to them as well as to us. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with in their hearts with faith. They heard it. They heard lots of it, but they didn't profit. It's not automatic. It's not a machine that if we listen to the word a lot, we'll profit a lot. It doesn't work like that. Have we begun to truly learn? Come unto me, says Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Are you learning of Christ from the Scriptures? The one who is meek and lowly of heart, the one who did always those things that pleased the Father. Have you begun to learn about God, about the way of salvation? about what it is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And have you trusted him? And now you're living your life in submission to the Word of God, laying up understanding. Are you growing in grace because you've begun in grace? If the Lord has begun a good work in you, if he has brought you into his marvelous light, then let your wisdom increase by meditating upon the law of the Lord. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that standeth not in the seat of the scornful, that standeth not in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. Make the scriptures not something you look at because your conscience will be troubled if you don't at least turn the page. Of course, life is busy and you have many responsibilities. But make some time, somewhere, where you can meditate upon the Word of God and lay up wisdom so that your tongue will be a well of life, boasting not in yourself, but in the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, enable us to lay thy word to heart, that we might be a people whose mouths speak wisdom, who edify one another, and edify those who are outside, that we might adorn the gospel in the use of our tongues, and that we might glorify Christ in speaking well of him. So, O gracious God, make us wise, and make us yet wiser, that we might increase in the knowledge of thyself. Forgive all our sins, all the sins of our lips, and cleanse away all iniquity. Keep the door of our lips, that we might not sin against thee, and hear us and accept us, for Christ's sake. Amen.